And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Looking for a unique investment opportunity? Well, you need look no farther. You can own your own national park. That's right. Imagine what you can do with your own national historic site or world-class caldera, or how about pristine lake? It's all up for grabs, and it can be yours. With America falling on hard financial times, what better way to restore our economic equilibrium than to get rid of some of those jewels that are just sitting around? If this interests you, we'll tell you who to contact when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Welcome to this special edition of the Wild Side News. 15 national parks will be put up for sale, according to a plan sketched out for possible legislation by California's own Congressman Richard Pombo, who chairs the House Resources Committee, and Paul Hoffman, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Fish and Wildlife and Parks, is quietly rewriting the regulations that define park operations in an attempt to expand the opportunities for more aggressive utilization of the parks. National parks for sale. Wanna buy one? Is the focus of this special edition of the Wild Side News. Despite the overwhelming desires of the American public, 78% of whom outright oppose such ideas as selling off portions of our national parks, there is a quite well-organized effort to change the fundamental purpose and protections of our national parks. Who is leading this effort? Paul Hoffman, who in years past served as an aide to then-Congressman Richard Cheney in Cody, Wyoming, is doing what he has learned so well to do, changing keywords in government protocols to redirect the mission and legacy of America's most cherished treasures, our national parks. At the same time, seven-term Congressman Richard Pombo, who seems almost maniacally threatened by the power endangered species have in our country, writes legislation to undermine the Endangered Species Act, and most recently drafted a detailed paper calling for the commercialization of national parks, and yes, selling 15 national parks that aren't carrying their weight. Mr. Pombo wrote a book in 1996 entitled, This Land is Our Land, which can be understood by the title when taken literally. It was co-authored with Joseph Farah, who worked with Rush Limbaugh on his second book, See, I Told You So. 2 years later, Richard Pombo was elected to office, where he is now the chairman of the House Resources Committee. Richard Pombo attended Pomona Polytechnic, but managed to not receive a degree. He is the man who pens now the future legislation and chairs the committee to oversee the future of our national parks. Following the news, we talk with Craig Obie, Vice President for Governmental Affairs for the National Parks Conservation Association, which has been allied with park preservation since 1919. Then, in segments 2 and 3, we go in-depth with Bill Wade, who is with the Coalition of National Park Service Retirees, an organization of park professionals, to hear his thoughts on this focused effort to change the nature of America's natural treasury. This is a very important special edition of the Wild Side News, which we launch following the news. So first, the news. The House, this past week, approved legislation to overhaul the Endangered Species Act, making it harder to maintain the habitat of plants and animals threatened with extinction. The bill, introduced by California Congressman Richard Pombo, was passed with overwhelming Republican support on a vote of 229-193. The Senate has not yet taken up companion legislation. the bill attempts to refocus responsibility and more authority into private landholders' hands to provide protections for endangered species. In the process, landholders' economic impacts will mitigate requirements for protection. The Brazilian government has activated its army to bring water and other needed supplies to people along the Amazon River. A severe drought is literally drying up the tributaries and stretches of the Great River, thereby isolating villages and leaving many thousands essentially without water. Changes in weather patterns are blamed as the same conditions which have spurred this most horrific hurricane season, as masses of clouds are drawn to the North Atlantic Basin, draw clouds away from the Amazon rainforest. As if hurricanes, mudslides, and earthquakes were not enough to cope with, the threat of bird flu is flying around the world with lightning speed, which, unfortunately, may be the speed with which it spreads. Concerns are being voiced worldwide. In the U.S., which has only 2 million doses of the vaccine, the White House is discussing whether it will call out the military to effect a quarantine. That means keeping you in an infected area against your will. This and many other issues will add to the insecurity of our lives in the days ahead. So, enough with the news. Let's get on to our special edition of the Wild Side News. Want to buy a national park?
Today's program is focusing on our national parks and the most amazing series of events that have occurred recently that are bringing extraordinary focus on the potential changes to the future of the national parks that are raising a lot of issues with a lot of people, particularly people very much involved with the national parks. And joining us right now is Craig Obey, who's the Vice President for Governmental Affairs for the National Park Conservation Association. Craig, thanks for joining us here on the Wildside News.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the National Park Conservation Association, just so people understand where you're coming from.
Sure. The National Parks Conservation Association has been around ever since 1919. We were started by the first director of the Park Service to be America's watchdog over the national parks, so that's what we've done ever since. We are a membership organization. We've got about 300,000 members, and people can learn more about us and our background by visiting our website, which is npca.org.
There's a big issue that's suddenly in the press, and it's important because there are some things happening kind of behind the scenes in ways that, well, we're sort of getting used to seeing, but that doesn't make them any better, or more. We're certainly not becoming more comfortable with them. And that is a process of changing in both the management and purpose of national parks that is happening sort of undercover, for lack of a better term. There's two specific documents that have come up recently, one by Paul Hoffman and another by Congressman Richard Pombo, that have raised some eyebrows and very big concerns. Why don't you give us an overview?
Well, sure. The first one you mentioned, the Hoffman draft, was a Paul Hoffman is a political appointee of the Department of the Interior, and he took it upon himself to initiate a rewrite of the Park Service's management policies. Those are really the rule book that the Park Service uses to protect parks for the long term. And his suggested rewrite would have completely undone, in many respects, 90 years of precedent in terms of how the parks are protected and managed. And he would have changed. He was proposing to change the core definitions of what it means to actually impair the resources in a park. It's stuff that and really change the whole nature of park protection and de-emphasize long-term preservation when it's compared to current uses. So it was the kind of thing that was really a thumb in the eye to my kid and you know, all our kids and grandkids, so that those who want to use the parks up in our generation can do it.
There has been quite an ongoing, it's almost like a movement, that is pitting certain interests and factions that are interested in utilization and commercialization of public lands, which the national parks are part of, more into private hands. That's kind of what's behind this, isn't it?
Oh, That's certainly a major part of it, I think. The you've got the Hoffman draft, and you've also got the Pombo legislation. Chairman Richard Pombo, Congressman Richard Pombo, who's the chairman of the House Resources Committee, his staff drafted legislation that would have required wholesale commercialization of parks across the country, national parks, as well as would have required the sale of 15 national park units, including 7 in Alaska. Those units comprise 23% of the total acreage of the park system. One of the units, in fact, that one of the areas that was proposed for sale under that Encanto development is Theodore Roosevelt Island, which is the memorial to the great conservation president Theodore Roosevelt. The commercialization issue is one that runs through a number of items, the Hoffman draft as well as the Pombo proposal. The Pombo proposal would require the sale of naming rights on park trails and buildings. For example, I was just earlier today, I was up at the Grand Canyon and hiking near the Bright Angel Trail. That trail could conceivably be renamed the Citibank Trail or the Target Trail or what have you, those kinds of things. So it's really disturbing what's being done to really potentially denigrate the core values of the national park system.
Now, supposedly the reason for this is to raise money from the parks, and that's partly at the core. That really is at the core of this, at least on the surface. That they're suggesting that parks should really carry their own way to a larger degree, and almost to almost totally. And that's what they're kind of in the process of trying to do. So let's talk about some of the ways in which they would like to help parks carry their weight. It's really quite extraordinary.
It certainly is. For example, the park closure piece of this is directed at parks that have fewer than 10,000 visitors per year. So a park like Bering Land Bridge, which is in Alaska and is highly remote, remnant of the land bridge that connected Asia to North America. Understandably, that place doesn't get a lot of visitors because of its remote location. But that doesn't mean that it's not something of incredible value for us that would be tragic if it suddenly were sold off for oil and gas development. Other ways they would want the parks to help pay their way, as you're saying, the Pombo proposal was revealed in the context of what's called the budget reconciliation bill, and that is a bill basically to try and reduce the federal budget deficit. What they were trying to do is require the Park Service to sell at least $10 million worth of commercial naming rights, as I mentioned, as well as $10 million worth of advertising on park buses, park brochures, turning them essentially into billboards in a manner that would be unprecedented in Park Service history.
Now, is that considered $10 million per park?
No, it would be a total of $10 million for the system. And if they did not sell at least $10 million worth, there are a couple different provisions that could come into play. One would be the parks could lose access to the recreation fee money that people pay when you're at a trailhead and you contribute $3 or $5 or $10 to help rehabilitate a trail. That's money that typically goes, 80% of that goes back into the park to keep it for upkeep purposes. That's money that they would put in moratorium if the parks didn't sell enough advertising. They'd also put a moratorium on the concessions fees. You know, the concessioners that run the hotels and restaurants in many of the parks pay fees, have contracts, pay fees to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's money that many parks also depend on for various operations. to keep toilet paper in the bathrooms and the like. And that's money that that could also be placed in moratorium if the parks didn't sell enough advertising.
Now, of course, one of the aspects of this that is confusing, and it is very confusing, is the fact that the storyline goes from the Pombo office or his committee that although this was written in language that would suggest that it was preparations for a very serious a bill or proposal or something, nevertheless, they're saying that this was really just talking points, some ideas they were throwing around. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are the characterization of them changed a few times initially, and you know, if they're not going to pursue them, I'm more than happy to have them not pursue them. But frankly, the responses that I've seen from Mr. Pombo's spokesperson in the press leave me a bit nervous. The fact is he has refused to rule out the potential for using some of these provisions in the context of hurricane relief after Hurricane Katrina. Obviously, there are huge costs to fixing New Orleans, the Mississippi coast, and other areas. And so Congress is looking for money. And whenever you draft something like this, as wacky as it is, the fact that it was drafted, the fact that it was sent to the Congressional Budget Office for scoring, which means to get a cost estimate of how much money they would save, how much they would reap from this, is highly concerning when Congress is looking for money.
Well, some of the provisions include such things as requiring commercial advertising. And just as a prelude to this, in the parks, there are companies that have concessions. For example, if you go to a visitor center, you're going to see bookstores. Those are typically run by a park organization, and they make money, but it is a nonprofit. But as well, in cases where you have large stores, restaurants, lodges, those oftentimes are actually private companies, and they get those concessions. So there are ways in which private concerns are actively in parks and profiting from that. But this takes it to a different level, and I think that's really what we're talking about here, where it becomes, well, I guess the question would become, why shouldn't national parks become Disneyland?
I think because national parks are an American birthright. I mean, they are something, you know, when we go to Yellowstone or the Grand Canyon or Yosemite or Gettysburg or the Statue of Liberty, we don't go there to see billboards and neon signs. We go there to see a part of our history, a part of our past, and a part of our future in many ways. Europe has its cathedrals, and one of the things that people have long talked about in the settlement of our nation is we didn't have those cathedrals. We didn't have that long history with those, but the national parks are our cathedrals. They're magnificent specimens that should not be cheapened and need to be preserved so that future generations can experience them just the way we did, just the way our forebears did.
I guess the correlation would be to imagine going into a grand cathedral or a synagogue and finding advertising plaques on each one of the pews.
That's a great corollary.
One of the reasons that national parks give us so much is the fact that when we go there, nature dominates, and we need places where we can have that unfettered, unfiltered connection with nature. Most people get it. I think that maybe that's where part of the injustice comes from, too, and that is the fact that Americans across the board, by a vast majority, absolutely want our national parks to remain national parks as they are. And for however this comes about, certain small numbers of people with very highly financed vested interests to be able to influence this and take this away from us and change this in our legacy is, from my perspective, it's just absolutely wrong. You've done some surveys and polling about this. What can you share with us?
We did some polling directly in response to the Pombo effort, and it was striking, though not entirely surprising, the results that we saw. For example, when we asked people whether they thought that commercial advertising should be sold on park brochures and have billboards placed on buses, that kind of thing, 74% said absolutely not. When we asked folks whether parks should be sold off to balance the federal budget, 79% said no. when we asked whether commercial naming rights should be sold to park buildings and trails, 84% said no, 70% of them strongly. The reaction was unequivocal that this is something that just shouldn't happen. And so I think it's just very clear that we need to reject these kinds of things. And you know, one of the most important things I think that people can do is to make sure that members of Congress, you know, Mr. Pombo and others, know that they don't like this kind of proposal. You know, regardless of what they're saying right now about and whether they're going to move this or not, I think the proof will be in the pudding. We need to be sure that there is such an outcry that anybody who contemplates this in the future will say, no, better not go there because it would be politically damaging to do it.
Here's a question. This is one that I'm sure it bothers you, or it confounds me. It confounds a lot of people, and that is that America's concept of itself is changing, and in that process, it's filtering up into the national parks. Our concept of nature is being overwhelmed by information about global warming, about catastrophes, and then all of that is pitted against natural resources and the depletion of natural resources and our need to find these things. And unfortunately, it's having an impact on how people, on their relationship with nature. It's becoming stressed at the core, and that's really unfortunate. And yet, the truth is that our relationship with nature is just as real and direct as it always has been. It's just that it's challenged. Any idea on whether or not we will be able sometime in our future to regain that, so that when we go to the national parks, we can regain that sense of their value? Right now, I think it's in some respects challenged by the problems that we're facing as a nation.
You know, I think that's such an important point. And you know, when you think about the kinds of places that many people went for solace after September 11th, for example, you know, many of them were national parks. You know, I know for me personally, when I go into one of the great natural areas, it's spiritually renewing for me. And I think it's something that we need to be sure we don't lose as a society. That's why fighting back against these kinds of things is so important. I'm optimistic that I think people care about this stuff enough that they want it preserved, that it will be preserved. But part of the challenge we have is there's so much coming at people day to day these days. There's so much in the world that's troubling to people. We really need to be sure that in that din, the needs of the parks are not lost. It would be a tragedy if people suddenly, you know, opened their eyes one day and realized, oh my goodness, well our eyes were focused over here, you know, on our left, on our right, the parks were being damaged in a way that we really didn't want to see. So I think it's an important question to ask. I think it's something that all of us who, you know, who care about these places need to take to heart, and we need to be particularly vigilant.
I guess my thinking at this point is that as these challenges emerge, there are days when I'm worn out by the end of the day listening to the news. We live in challenging times right now. That now more than ever is when we need national parks.
Absolutely.
That. How in the world, where do we go to escape? The bombardment of our spirit and our souls is relentless, it seems, at times, and there is no more amazing and powerful place to find that reconnection with the truth and spiritual values and personal strength, as you well know, and most everybody who's listening, and actually most everybody who's alive right now knows in their heart that you go to a national park. We need them now more than ever we have before, and I think maybe that's the message that we need to get people to go to the park so that they can maintain their balance.
Absolutely, and we need to get people from all all the corners of the country to go to national parks. We need people from diverse populations to go to the parks. It's so important that everyone who can get to the parks and be connected to them and use them in the way that those wonderful people who created the park system to begin with hope that they would be used in the future.
As you look to the future of these unique challenges, and I'm talking now specifically about the management changes proposed by Hoffman, the commercialization by Pombo, what do you think is going to happen with this stuff?
I learned long ago to try and avoid making hard, fast predictions on these kinds of things. But, you know, I think these are fights that we can win. I think it's very clear that the public reaction, the very strong public reaction to the Hoffman draft when it first came out, editorial coverage across the country that just was appalled by it. I think that in of itself is likely to have an effect in what we see them actually propose here in the next week or two, and that's something we're going to have to be analyzing and reacting to. I think the same thing with the Pombo effort. I think the reaction that we've seen, and the fact that they have felt so quickly that they need to divorce themselves from what was their own idea to some extent is a good sign. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a very real risk, because there is, and we need to keep on top of it.
It occurs to me that maybe one important thing for people to do would be to go to national parks and let the people in the parks are forced and required to remain apolitical to a very large degree, and we all understand that. But that doesn't mean that when we visit a park, we can't let them know how much we value those parks and make that statement in a positive way. I'm going to take the time to just encourage people to just do that. Visit the park and say, you know, we're hearing about these changes. We want you to know that we support the parks as they are, and even to strengthen the right to preserve these for us, our kids, and our posterity.
Absolutely, and I would add to that they ought to thank the people in the Park Service who are there protecting those parks every day. I think they do an absolutely fantastic job in what these days are not the easiest circumstances with the fiscal challenges that the parks face, as well as these kinds of policy threats. I think the commitment to the mission of the Park Service of protecting these places for all Americans that people in the Park Service have is just first class.
Craig Obey, Vice President of Governmental Affairs for the National Parks Conservation Association, I want to thank you so much for lending your voice to the Wildside News.
Thank you very much.
Congressman Richard Pombo was invited to participate in this discussion, but the request was never responded to. When we return, we go in-depth to learn what those who have served as rangers, superintendents, and park employees have to say about the Hoffman-Pombo combo. Sounds like a mech park future when your voice of the earth returns following this short break here on the Wildside News.